Brett Musburger, and you are listening live to Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio with my main man, Tony D.
All right, national championship college football tonight as Michigan and Washington Duke, both teams 14-0, 1-2. Let's go to Progressive Guest Line. Bundle home and auto and visit progressive.com. Lane Higgins joins us, Wall Street Journal, covering tonight's national championship game. How are you, Lane?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. Thanks for joining us. Let's start with Michigan. The kind of narrative about tonight is, hey, you got Blake Corum. Let's run the ball 40 times. Let's control the clock. Is that the recipe for Michigan? Or is that the main reason that they could win the game tonight? Is that strategical element? Or is J.J. McCarthy going to have to do some other things?
I mean, he's going to have to throw a little bit, I imagine, because if you know, Michigan, obviously, they've proven that they can establish the run against great teams. And that does eat up a lot of clock, which is important when you're playing a team like Washington. But, you know, again, with a team like Washington that can score as fast as they can through the air, it might not matter that much that you're eating up precious clock time with running the ball. So I think it's going to have to be a little bit of both because Washington's expecting the run. And I think you're going to maybe have to have some explosive plays through the air to keep things even.
You got this immovable force and object kind of question here because Michigan, they got to Jalen Milroe. They got to him six times, but Washington's offensive line doesn't get anybody near Penix. They may pressure him, but they never let him get to him. Where do you see that battle in the trenches between Michigan's defense, which is very good, against an offensive line that won the Joe Moore Award?
You know, that's the most exciting matchup of the game to me, I think, which is funny because, you know, in the trenches, it's usually not that sexy to talk about offensive linemen, but I think it really could determine this game because Washington's O-line has allowed 11 sacks all year. And they're a big reason why Michael Penix Jr. even came there because he was tired of being hurt and sacked in Indiana nonstop. And, you know, I think you don't necessarily have to sack him to influence him. And there are teams in the Pac-12 that have done that. You know, you look at the Arizona State game and some of the other teams where he's really struggled to click. However, he's also learned and grown a lot from that. So one of the strengths that he has is he releases the ball so fast and he's such a good decision maker in that his, you know, he can read the field and go through his progressions and oftentimes, but when he's letting loose a throw, no one is open yet, but he knows where they're going to be because he has that chemistry with his receivers. So that's just such a hard thing to defend against because, you know, even if you're forced to make a quick decision, this is a quarterback that can do that. So yes, some sacks would be good, but I think more than anything, it's going to fall to the secondary because, you know, I think they have to expect that the ball is coming to them early and often.
Yeah, I was going to just get into that because you make a good point about, look, when people say Michigan hasn't faced an offense like this, well, no one's faced an, like, this is the number one passing offense in the country. So it's not on Michigan to have played somebody in the Big Ten like Washington, because Washington, there's nobody like Washington. But that being said, how do you see that secondary going up against this aerial attack of the Huskies?
You know, this isn't the first time that Michigan has faced some really electric receivers. You know, they do have the benefit of playing against Ohio State, which, you know, up to this point in this season, everyone probably assumed would have the best receiving core in the nation and historically has the last few years. And, you know, not all of those games have gone Michigan's way when they're facing those receivers. But, you know, you look at C.J. Stroud, the year that he had, you know, Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson and Jackson Smith and Jigba, and they lost that game. Michigan found a way to cover them or at least influence them. And, you know, you might not be picking them off all the time, but you can definitely play it close. And one thing I'm curious about is because Washington's receivers, you know, catch so many contested balls, they'd also draw a lot of defensive pass interference penalties, which is, you know, a huge help because that's a big one. However, Michigan is one of the cleanest teams in the nation in that they don't commit a lot of stupid penalties. So I think if Michigan can be disciplined in how they cover Washington's wide receivers, that, you know, slight advantage that Washington has had all year from that might go away. But again, like, it's really hard to cover those guys because they are so good. So, I mean, you're not going to stop them every time, but I think when you look at the veteran core of, you know, Mike Sanristil, Will Johnson, some of the corners that Michigan has, like, I think they're up to the task.
So what's great about this matchup is that how they got to this game may not matter at all, but there might be some elements of their previous game that we can take into. Washington's side of it, I watched the Sugar Bowl, and I'm watching it, and I'm seeing Washington do all of these great things, and in the end, I'm like, Texas might win this game. And I remember saying Tuesday when we came back on the air, I said, I was going to have to explain how Texas won this game, and I did not know how I would have explained it. Is there something about that? It is concerning about the way Michigan, I mean, Wisconsin, Washington almost played a perfect game and lost.
Yeah. I mean, it really came down to, I think, the play calling on their final drive for Washington. Like, yes, I mean, in any one scenario, if you're up by six and you have the ball, you're going to run it and bleed clock. The issue was Texas had timeout still, right? So on both the first run plays, the clock stopped after like 2 seconds. But you think on third down, with the offense that you have, given that you just need to get a first down and then you could go into victory formation, why wouldn't you throw it?
Right.
But instead, you know, Washington elected to run it, and unfortunately their tailback got hurt, and because of that, it stops the clock, which is, you know, an unfortunate coincidence because, you know, you have a big problem in college football of players, you know, flopping and faking injuries to stop the clock. But that one was very real. And he clearly, you know, he was trying to get off the field. He wasn't trying to have the clock stop. But that alone, given that he got no gain on third down, set up the necessity to punt. And then that interference penalty that Washington got on the punt return was just unbelievable.
No
like
doubt.
When you're in those situations, you have to play a bit cleaner. And, you know, some of that is not, some of that's on the players. A lot of that's on the coaches, I think. And they, as much grief as you want to give them for how stressful that last minute of the game was, especially if you're a Washington fan, this is kind of something they've done all year. Like, Washington has won 10 of its games by 10 points or less. And a lot of those are even closer. And not to say that's a good thing, but they know how to handle themselves in those close situations. And so far, every time it's come down to it, they've, you know, passed with flying colors. So I don't know if that's a good sign that you have that much of a resume for doing it, but they know how to act when it comes down to those down to the wire games.
Let's talk about the running game. How is Dylan Johnson, and what do you think it will work against a Michigan team? They don't give up any yards on the ground.
Yeah, that's going to be tough. I mean, I think that's going to be a really important thing for Washington, is establishing some semblance of a ground game, because they need to have something to balance the play calling, because you can't just throw all the time, because then Michigan, you know, you're going to drop four or five guys into coverage and be able to double team. However, Dylan Johnson's really tough. And when I was talking to him, you know, he's bouncing around on both feet. He's saying, yeah, I'm doing great. And I asked him, you know, shouldn't you be sitting down or like resting or something? Like, you just busted your ankle and your knee. And he's like, oh yeah, maybe. So, you know, he's excited for this game. He's going to try to play as much as he can. And given that it's a national championship, like, you can empty the tank. You don't have to save anything for this. And I anticipate him trying. But I think all it takes is, you know, one awkward step, and potentially that's down. So it's going to fall to probably, you know, second or third running backs on the depth chart for Washington to really try to do this. Or, I know Penix doesn't like to run, but he can. And I think it might come to that a little bit. So we'll see. It's I'm crossing my fingers, because you never want to see an electric player like Dylan Johnson get hurt. But, you know, I'm not anticipating him being the full explosive back that he's been all season.
Lane Higgins, Wall Street Journal, on the national championship game tonight. And the players on Michigan are laser focused on this. They want the title. It's your coaching staff. You've got to shield them from all the outside noise. But there is outside noise. How have they handled the Harbaugh to Las Vegas and the suspensions and everything that they've been dealing with this season? How have they been reacting to these kind of questions that are coming their way that have nothing to do with Washington?
It almost doesn't faze them, which is funny, because I think they've had so much practice dealing with off-field distractions all season long. Because really, from the first game of the season, they had to deal with this.
Yeah.
And I think because of that, they're used to sort of tuning it out. And, you know, to Harbaugh's credit, at least with the media, he is someone that is very focused on what's ahead of him immediately. So even though in the back of his mind, I'm sure he's thinking about where he's wanting to be coaching and whatnot, he, with his team, is obviously never going to discuss that with them. And I think if you are seeing behavior modeled from your coach of, wow, this guy is really just focused on this right now, I can do that too. And it's sort of a, you know, cross that bridge when you get there, because I think you can't worry about something you can't control, which is sort of the mindset of these Michigan players. And, you know, it doesn't matter if they, like, who's their coach next year, because right now they want a title. And it'll be interesting to ask that question after the game when some of these things start to sink in a bit more, I think. But, you know, win or lose for Michigan. But this team has really been able to just, you know, take any slight personally, use it as bulletin board material and keep winning and keep proving them wrong. And, you know, it's a dangerous thing to give a team rat poison, like Nick Saban likes to say.
Right.
And this team has had plenty of that this year.
Lane, good stuff. Thank you so much for joining us on a busy day and a busy night. That's going to be the championship game in Houston. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
You got it. Lane Higgins, Wall Street Journal. Come back, some thoughts on the championship game as Michigan and Washington fighting for the national championship. Somebody's winning this thing, and what would it mean to either one of the programs to finally get the trophy that's been long overdue? The 90s. You have to go back for both schools. 91 for Washington, 97 for Michigan on the last national titles. We'll continue. It's Wake Up Call.